Speak to us, Lord. Open up our ears and our eyes and our hearts, and speak to the very deepest part of us through your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, it's Lent, and during Lent there are two traditions in the church. One is to give up something, and one is to take on something. So this year during Lent, we've been talking about giving up some of our favorite sins. The fancy word is besetting sins. So, do you know what I mean when I talk about our favorite sins? The ones we're really good at? The ones we really enjoy doing? The ones we do so much that maybe we actually forget their sins? So in the first week of Lent, we talked about giving up shame and accepting the belief that we are actually forgiven by God, by grace alone. We don't have to do anything to earn it. We don't have to be good enough. He just gives it to us. So we called that being beloved, right? So giving up shame, taking on belovedness. So this week, we're going to explore another sin, which I'm willing to bet each and every one of us is guilty of. Probably you maybe even did it before you even came to church this morning, and that is the sin of complaining. The Apostle Paul includes a whole big list of sins in the scripture passage we're going to look today, but I thought grumbling and complaining might be the most interesting one to preach a sermon on. So here, Paul's words of caution to the Corinthians as he reminds them of the trouble that the Israelites got themselves into as they wandered in the wilderness. So this is 1 Corinthians 10, and I will be reading verses 1 through 13. So Paul says this, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they ate all the same spiritual food and drank all the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. So they did all the right things, did all of the proper things," he says. Verse 5, "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert." So Paul says, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things like they did. He says, "Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes." And here's our verse for the day. "And do not grumble or complain as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel." Paul says these things, all of these things that happened to the Israelites in the wilderness, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. So if you think of warnings on us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to people. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Well, based on that, apparently, complaining is part of our spiritual heritage, right? Passed down from our ancestors in the faith as they wandered and muttered and murmured their way to the promised land. Verse 10 in particular says, "And do not grumble and complain as some of them did." I'm afraid this spiritual gene is still alive and well today. I know I'm guilty of doing probably more than my fair share of grumbling and complaining. And in fact, if you happened to be on Facebook yesterday, you'll notice that I had posted something that said I just complained about having to write my sermon about complaining. The funny thing is, complaining about something is often how we start a conversation with other people. Have you ever noticed that? I don't think I ever noticed that until I was reading for this sermon, and I was like, oh, that's so true. It's so true. Watch. Just watch. The next time when you go home, or the next time you're with your family, or the next time you're with your friends, watch how the conversation starts. Because chances are, somebody's going to start it with a complaint. And so what do? When we hear people complaining? Right? We join in, right? We join in. And so someone shares their complaint, and then you get to share yours, and then everybody goes, oh, that's really bad. And we have learned somehow that a negative observation about something gets a bigger response from other people than a positive one. I don't know how that happened. Maybe that's just the original sin in us, but if you start out a conversation with a negative complaint, you're going to get a better response, bigger response, than if you started out with a positive one. So once one person starts complaining, pretty soon everyone gets in on the act. And it turns out complaining is contagious. So if you think about those Israelites as they were wandering through the wilderness, not sure how long the trip was going to last, not knowing where their next meal was going to be, all it took was one Israelite whose feet hurt a little too much. Or all it took was one Israelite who had missed one too many meals and their stomach was growling too much. One little complaint. And suddenly all of God's people are moaning and bellyaching, completely forgetting that God had just freed them from slavery, horrible, horrible slavery in Egypt. One little complaint, and that amazing thing was erased from their memories. God had just handed them their freedom and the keys to the kingdom, and they respond by complaining. So in 1 Corinthians here, verse 5 says, God was not pleased with most of them. So Paul is warning the Corinthians, and he's warning us too, that God is similarly displeased when we begin to complain. So I've spent a lot of time thinking and reading about complaining in preparation for this sermon, particularly why. Why do we complain? What are we hoping to achieve when we complain about something? Well, I learned some things that I did not know before that kind of make some sense to me. So I read an article that said that there are actually two kinds of complaints. One they call instrumental complaints, and the second they call expressive complaints. So instrumental and expressive. So an instrumental complaint has a particular goal in mind. So when you complain in this way, you're hoping to bring about a change. For example, when you go to the doctor, what do? You complain about your symptoms, right? You complain about your symptoms and your pain, and you know, maybe you're not real whiny about it, but what you're doing is expressing some sort of problem that you have in the hopes that the doctor will be able to figure out what's wrong and help you fix it so you feel better. So it's not wrong to complain in this situation. So instrumental complaining, it's not always wrong. It's just trying to help you achieve this goal of feeling better. So if this kind is okay, and if we know complaining generally is not good, it must be the other kind that we need to worry about. So this other complaint, when you think of someone, and I'm sure you probably already have, I haven't even had to prompt you, but there's probably someone in your mind that you have kind of labeled a complainer or a whiner. And chances are what they are saying falls into this category, this expressive complaining. So this is essentially what we might also call venting, right? We all sometimes need to vent. We complain in this way to kind of get something off of our chests. And we're looking for acknowledgement and sympathy from other people, particularly the people that we are complaining to. So the purpose of this second kind of complaining is just to express our resentment or our dissatisfaction, maybe sometimes to find fault or to judge someone for something. So instrumental complaining, when there's a goal in mind and you're just trying to get there, that's okay when used appropriately. But the second kind of complaining, this expressive complaining, you know, it's okay, you never thought you'd hear me say this, it's okay to complain in this way if you get that relief that you're looking for, right? If you're able to say it and people say, yes, you're right, and then you move on with your day and you never worry about it again, right? It's okay to use it that way. The problem is when we grumble and complain and grumble and complain, and we never feel that release of that emotion, right? You just kind of grumble and complain and grumble and complain, and you still don't feel any better. So you think, well, maybe if I just complain a little bit more, it'll make you feel better. And it's not the case. So there must be something else we're looking for when we do that. There must be something deeper that we want to help us release this emotion. There must be something else to it. So what are we really looking for when we complain? We want to connect. We want to connect with someone else. We want to be heard by someone else. We want to be understood by someone else. It may sound like we just want someone to agree with us and say that we're right, but that's not really it. I think that's why we start out so many of our conversations with complaints, because when we complain, people respond and they sympathize and we connect with each other through our complaining. It's really deeper than just the complaint. It's making that connection with another human being. But if we never learn to move past that complaining stage, we get stuck. If we never learn another way, a better way, to connect with people, eventually people will stop listening to us. Right? And they won't want to be around us anymore either. And so this longing to connect, which is really probably at the heart of most of our complaining, remains unfulfilled, right? We remain disconnected. And the more we complain, the less connected we are. And so it feels even more intense that we can't connect with somebody else. So what do? We complain even more, trying to connect, but really it just pushes people farther away. Now I'm trying to keep this sermon so that you're thinking about yourself and the way that you complain or maybe don't complain. But I know you're all sitting there thinking of people in your heads that drive you nuts with their complaining. So maybe the side benefit or the secondary part of the sermon would be to help you to understand why someone is the way that they are. And so when they're complaining, it's not really about this thing on the surface, but it's really something deeper. And it's really someone just wanting to connect with you. So what's another way to do that? What's another way to connect with people other than complaining. If we're going to try to give up complaining for Lent, which is what I'm suggesting to you this morning, what can we take on in its place? How about we try an attitude of gratitude instead? How about instead of starting a conversation with a complaint, we start one with a compliment? Or how about we start a conversation with an expression of thanks for a blessing? What about becoming the kind of person who leaves people feeling lifted up instead of feeling dragged down by complaining? Our experience may tell us, and actually scientific data will tell you this as well, that we'll get a bigger response if we start by complaining. But I think we'll get a better response if we start with gratitude. So, the question for you to ponder today and the rest of this week is, which would you rather have, a bigger response or a better response? How do you want to influence the people around you? Paul says we have this example of the Israelites as they were wandering in the wilderness to be our guide. The Israelites, they're kind of our, like, what not to do pattern for us to follow. And in verse 6, Paul says, he lists all of these sins, those first couple of verses, all of those sins. And he says, these things, all these things, like the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, all that was written to prevent us from setting our hearts on evil things like they did. Do not complain, he says, as some of them did, for God was not pleased by them. So here's your mission for this week, if you choose to accept it. You can do what I mentioned to Tyler during the children's sermon. And then whenever you find yourself starting to complain about something, you can stop. And you can say, you know what? Instead of complaining about these dishes that are still in the sink, I'm going to be grateful that I had food to eat, that I had people to eat it with, that I have dishes to eat it on, and that there's a roof over my head so that I can eat in safety, right? So you can do that. Or next time you find yourself complaining, see, I'm already assuming you're going to do it. We're all going to do it. Next time you find yourself complaining, stop. Stop and name 5 things that you are grateful for. 5 little gifts that God has given to you. 5 little things that make your heart overflow with gratitude. I suspect that if we can use even half of the energy we normally spend on complaining and use that instead to count our blessings, quite literally, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think we will find an entirely new way of connecting, not just with other people, but with God himself. And in this way, we are obeying Paul's warning that he gave to the Corinthians, that he also gives to us. But even better than that, we know that we'll be pleasing God, who created us to rejoice and to give thanks, not so much to complain. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.